Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
We've got Richard Quigley, MP, in the studio, Isle of Wight MP, Labour MP for Isle of Wight West. So on that night, Richard, can we just go back to that night in July, on July the 4th?
Yeah.
Of course, we've never had a, up until that point, we had never had a Labour MP on the Isle of Wight. I don't think ever in the history of Isle of Wight time.
No, we've never. Closest we got was 1945, I think.
And can you just remind me, hopefully I'm not putting you on the spot, who was, what was the party or who was the individual that got elected back then? Can you remember?
Oh, it was the Conservative won, and I can't remember who the candidate was back then. I'd have to look. You'd have to Google it, Billy, while we're chatting.
I will do some cross-referencing. So it was, I see, so it was actually a Conservative got in, but a Labour MP, a Labour candidate got very close.
Yes, I think we were within 2,000 votes when it was one seat, so that was pretty close back then.
Blimey. So you're obviously now well and truly, your feet are well and truly firmly under the table.
Yes.
Can you just give us an update on what have you been doing? How have you got settled in? I'm going to start with the same question Sue and I asked Joe Robertson a couple of months ago.
So when you guys come to visit, and you'll be very welcome to come and visit Parliament, I'll enjoy taking you around so you can see it, is our democracy is glacially slow, but as MPs your days are ridiculously busy. Meeting various people, you know, trying to get the ear of ministers and so on. So the first 6 months has been both learning procedure, spending time in the chamber, but also getting your head round my five priorities. So what I need to do to get those. Also learning the building, which is, I don't know if Joe said the same, but it's just every day. I mean, even Wes Streeting says every week he finds a new route back to his office. It is quite something else. It is quite something else, the building.
And is it right that you, did I hear you refer to it as, or it may have been somebody else, but they've said that it's a bit like Hogwarts?
I think every MP, every new MP has referred to it being like Hogwarts. The staircases don't move, but it feels like they do. I mean, on my second day, I was absolutely convinced I'd nailed it and I knew where I was going. And I spent a good 15 minutes walking up and down the same staircase. I couldn't work out where the heck I was. And they say, you know, if you're lost, get in a lift. Press a button, come out of the lift and you'll find where you are. I did that and ended up at the bottom of the same set of stairs. And that's not happened since. But it is, it's just, you know, as it's been added onto over the years. So the main palace that we all know, Westminster Hall, was built in 1097. Then the rest has been added onto. So you can imagine what it's like. It's just an absolute maze of corridors and offices. And
it's huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't realise it was built in 1097.
Yeah, the main palace, yeah, exactly.
Wow.
That. And it's referred to as a palace because up until, I believe, Henry VIII, the monarchs used to live there. So, anyway.
And, of course, you've got the Speaker's residence, haven't
you? Speaker's residence is on the corner, is opposite the Big Ben. So, and he actually does live there. He spends a lot of time entertaining. And the Speaker, I don't think people realise what a job the Speaker has. So he chairs the meeting in the chamber, but also after that he's looking after our welfare, security. He probably has 3-4 nights a week he's entertaining, you know, people from all over the world. So yeah, he's got a job and a half, Sir Lindsay.
I can imagine. And of course we've spoken a little bit as well over the past couple of months and also before you came on air as well. It's not easy being an MP, and we spoke about this with Joe Robertson when he came in as well. So how do you find getting on with the job day to day? Do you find that when you're walking down the street, are people generally quite nice to you, even if they disagree with you? Because I always find it doesn't sit right with me that people should be bothering you and having a go at you when you're popping into the supermarket. So have you found generally the reception to be quite convivial?
Yeah, I mean, even people disagree. You know, I've had people from all literally full spectrum, left to right. And they are, once they engage you face to face, they are, you know, very well meaning, very polite, but they've got something they want to discuss, and that their only route is to talk to you, really. So I don't mind that at all. You know, there are times when if I'm with family, I'll have to say, look, you know, get in touch another time. But I really don't mind. And, you know, one of my favourite things is walking through Cowes or Newport and somebody comes and saying, oh, you know, do you mind if I talk to you about... And because, you know, you're getting to see a face rather than the bit that's difficult. And I don't know if Joe said the same, is for the first 6 months is setting up your office and recruiting your staff, which takes up a hell of a lot of time. And the reason you need five full-time equivalent staff is we're getting about 2,000 emails a week, which doesn't sound like a lot. But if you do even a minute on each, that's 33 hours just on emails.
Goodness,
so that wouldn't be a good use of an MP's time. So your team are filtering that out. You need people to actually go and act on it. And then you need people to, you know, make sure it's followed off. Now, we're only just in a position where we can start doing that because it's taken so long to recruit and find office and whatever else. So that was probably the hardest bit. The best bit is actually getting the ear of ministers and working out how you get stuff done. I'm really enjoying that.
Absolutely, because I think that's what all politicians go in it for, don't they?
Yeah, like to think so anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Indeed. You'd like to think that that's
what... We can all probably think of a few days gone by that didn't, but well, even currently perhaps. But, yeah.
So, do you know what? I think this is a great point to break at, because what we do is we're going to another track, Richard. I'm sure Sue as well has some burning questions too. One of my questions that I was going to ask you, and I want to give you a little bit of time to think about it, was, of course, the inquiries that you're getting from constituents. It's often said that the MP is the best person to ask when it comes to local issues, because they've got their ear on the ground and they're talking to everyday working people that actually watch the news and have a firm opinion on what's going on in the world. So I'd be keen to ask you, what have you picked up? What have you managed to hoover up over the last few months? Perhaps even what you didn't expect to hoover up. I'd be quite keen to hear about some of those more niche issues, particularly because, as I think I've said before, this interview will be podcasted up. It'd be a good opportunity to kind of get something out there, perhaps that the media might not necessarily have picked up. So I'd be really keen to hear about that.
So we're having a bit of a chat before the break and at the beginning of the show, Richard, but I was interested really in some of the bigger priorities for the island rather than for the country as a whole, and to get your thoughts on those and what you personally plan to do about them. So it's two, as it were, sectors of the island's population I'm quite interested in. So firstly, the youth of the island and their prospects, which leads me into also thinking about the business on the island and the seasonality of it. So what are your thoughts around that? What do you plan to do to help business on the island and hence our youth, enable them to remain on the island and work in meaningful jobs?
So I'll start at the other end, if you like, with our youngsters. Is one of the clear things during the campaign was every employer I went to see was absolutely desperate for homegrown talent, 16 pluses walking through the door, trying to get them involved in apprenticeships, and couldn't find them. And every education establishment was desperate for employers to come forward. So we identified this gap, and it's not through anybody's particular fault. I think we just need to, and this is where sometimes I talk out of turn, but I think we just need to be a lot more ambitious on the island in every sense. So I've taken a bit of a risk with a member of my team. I've employed someone to just focus on post-16 education, training and employment. And the idea is we link via forums or whatever else we decide to do, we link employers and education establishments to say, look, this is the amount of jobs there are, this is the amount of people coming through, so we know exactly where we are, because at the minute it's a bit we're guessing. But also what I'd like to do is, when I first started coming to the island 25 years ago, the place was absolutely bouncing. You know, there was industry being set up here. You think, well, you know, what on earth are they doing here? And it might be because the chief executive likes sailing or whatever it was. And, you know, simple things like if you weren't in a pub on a Friday night in Cowes by 8:30, you had to go through the toilet window. Mm, you know, it was ridiculously busy. Mm. And that's not like that anymore. And the demographics have changed, that the only demographic growing is 65 pluses. Now, everybody's welcome. But if we want the island to survive, your point, Sue, is exactly correct. What we're going to do for our youngsters. So I want to try and create a bit of nightlife and culture again for them. And I think we need to bring students over for that. We need to increase in sort of short order the population of 18-25s. Campus education, so it doesn't affect the housing market. Mm-hmm. And there's some really good ideas out there from some of the educators. And then what we need to do is this work on matching our post-16s to good quality training and apprenticeships. In, you know, there's so many places you can do a really good apprenticeship, even places, and I don't mean even, but you know, the tomato stall, an amazing company, an amazing product, but you can do an engineering apprenticeship there because they have two Rolls-Royce turbine engines heating the tomatoes. So, you know, people think, oh, I'll just turn up and pack tomatoes. You don't. It's the last thing you'll do. They don't, you know, they don't want people just wandering around in their tomato halls. They want them doing skilled jobs because it's a really good business. So speaking to Paul there, he was the same, you know, we need to find these people. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take that responsibility on as an office. And I suppose the question I can feel burning, Sue, and tell me if I'm wrong, is ferries.
Even the holiday, the holiday income now and business, which is so important to the island.
Absolutely.
And everyone is saying that, you know, last year, the holiday income was down.
Yeah, footfall was down 23%.
This year. A lot of people depend on it. either fully or partly for their income. What are you doing for them?
So there's lots of stuff there. It's, I mean, it's not just the islands. The whole South Coast was down between 20 and 30%. I think we were at about 23% down on footfall. And I think some of that is back down to the old-fashioned English weather and people being able to afford to get away, and flights have returned to pre-COVID levels. But that's not an excuse. So we need to, you know... The MP doesn't have that far-reaching abilities to just wave the magic wand and get people here. However, I have got the ability to work with people and get people together to say, look, let's work on the offering. Let's make it. Let's look at, you know, Isle of Wight PLC, as it were, which is another piece of work I want to take on and say, let's, you know, not just holidays, but a great place to live and work as well as to come and visit for holidays. We've got to start again. And I know we've got Visit Isle of Wight and they do a great job, but they're, you know, they're very limited in what they can do. So there's quite a lot for us to do.
You mentioned the F word.
So I think the F word you're thinking of is worse than the F word anybody else is thinking of in terms of, and you know, and that is a real problem. I won't sit here and pretend that I can solve that overnight. And, you know, and I don't wake up wanting to fight with the ferry companies. I really, really don't. I'd like nothing more than no one to ever mention the ferries again. But we're in a position where, you know, we've got one ferry company that's pretty reliable but expensive over on the ride side. And then we've got another one that is still pretty expensive but at the moment very unreliable. And that's what people in the street stop me and say is, what are you going to do? You know, I couldn't get off the island again. And it's a huge problem.
Yeah.
I do understand as well that a lot of people, they mention that as an issue. And I raised this when I interviewed the candidates in the East.
Yeah.
I said it almost felt to me as though it turned into a bit of a ferry election. I did challenge a lot of the candidates on that because I sort of said, well, on the other side, you have got a lot of people that are not in favour of the way the ferries operate. But then I actually said, well, as a individual that uses the foot passenger service that has a 98% reliability, I kind of raised the issue that to me it didn't seem like too much of a huge problem. And as someone who left the island and then came back, I felt like that was almost part of the agreement of being on an island.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the other half of the population or however many people it is, it'd be interesting to conduct a straw poll, actually. I'm not saying that their opinion shouldn't be factored in, but I suppose the point that I raise, and it links into what I think you're suggesting, Richard, is it's about collaboration and working in partnership with rather than creating it into a discussion where it's them and us.
Yeah,
because I never feel like, I don't feel like that's ever helpful to the debate.
No. And, you know, and I speak to Katie Taylor at Whitelink regularly, and I used to speak to her a lot when she was at Southern Water. I mean, she obviously likes taking on challenging roles. You know, I'm dancing around the issue, but Red Funnel has become particularly unreliable. You know, you can go down for the red jet in the morning and you're not entirely sure it'll be running, and, you know, people going over for hospital appointments and the like. Now, it didn't used to be like that, so I'm pretty convinced it won't have to be like that in the future. We just need a plan.
Yeah, and I think part of the problem is people aren't always thinking about the impact of ferry travel on them. They're thinking about the impact on it on people, you know, travelling to the island and visiting the island. The other issue that's of concern, I think, though, is the other end of the population, as it were. And obviously the demand for social care on the island is rising and becoming more difficult to meet. So briefly, what are your plans there to meet the increasing need for social care?
So that's a council issue. I don't have the power to do anything about that. However, I do have the power to help rebalance the demographics, like I was talking about earlier. So we've got to make care an attractive proposition. So nationally, as a party, you know, the National Care Service is an essential part, I think, of improving the numbers of people going into care, as is pay, as is training. It should be seen as a professional professional job rather than just, you know, going to care, because it's one of the hardest things anyone will ever do. And at some point it will touch all of our lives, either us directly or somebody caring for a loved one. And I think we just need to revalue it and say, hang on, these are really important roles. If you don't go off to university or whatever else, care is seen as an actual career, not just something you do because you can't do anything else, because I think it's really unfairly treated. And you're right, Sue, it's very difficult to recruit. We've got a massive issue on the island. And I add into that ferries because of travelling on and off, house prices, and achievement of level of achievement in schooling are all these things that act as handbrakes, and we've got to set the clock back, really.
In the next chit chat that we have, Richard, thank you for that. I'm very keen to return to the to Richard's intray. This could become a new feature on the show, couldn't it?
Yeah, some of it I wouldn't read out.
I can imagine not. It's just, I suppose it's an interesting, for the listener, it's an interesting opportunity, and we're really lucky to be able to have both MPs, you today, thank you for your time for coming in, to be able to actually talk about your job and actually the life of an MP. So we're really keen to return to the intro to see what's kind of going on over the last couple of weeks. What's your feeling on the ground with some of the issues of the day, so to speak? So we'll talk about that. And of course, I think it'd be really important. It's given that it's the last Sunday before Christmas, we've got to ask you about that as well.
Crikey. I hope the family aren't listening then.
Well, if that's not worth staying tuned in for, I don't know what is. Of course, there's always an opportunity for you to get in contact with us as well. studio@victusradio.fm. If you've got a question as well, there is time for you to do that too, should you wish to. It is 23 minutes to two. We're going to play local music. We are going to return to Richard's intray in a second.
You're really keen, aren't you? I just wanted to slip a little quick question in
I'll
first.
Allow so, it. I'm not really the boss on this show, Richard, as you've probably discovered.
It's the same question I asked Joe, so I'll be interested in your answer, because so far I've asked you the same questions that I put to Joe when Joe came in September. But I did ask Joe that now, just before, well, not long before Joe came in, you and Joe had a bit of a difference of opinion. And I know that you do have a difference of opinion over a number of matters, but how are the, given how important it is with One Ireland, How are you finding working together? What's that relationship like?
So do you know what? Me and Joe get on well. I see Joe regularly. We share. I always say a glass of wine, so I better say a cup of tea this time.
But
Joe's
just
a good guy.
Tell us as he is.
Yeah, and we share a glass of wine. Yeah. And the thing is, regardless of our politics, you know, we're off away from Westminster, both of us want the best for the island. Now, we will disagree politically and we might tear lumps out of each of them in the chamber, which is all entertainment, by the way. No business takes part in the chamber. So if you ever watch, you know, or listening and you think there's no one there, that's not a bad thing, actually, because it means we're all off doing some work. it's only when, you know, you need to vote, you need to be around. So we get on well, and, you know, the shared causes are those around the ferries, around what we do to our youngsters. And the disagreements mainly are basically party. So it's there's some stuff we are working together on, like the ferries. There's other stuff it's the party of government have to do. So Joe could be really difficult and just be awkward for the sake of it because he's in opposition, and he's not because he knows it's not for the good of the island. So we've got a pretty good relationship. So yeah, it's good.
And can you tell us then about your intray? What's the most interesting stuff that an MP gets?
You've been so wanting to do this, haven't you?
What's raised your eyebrows? Or have you got to the point now, 6 months in, where nothing makes you raise your eyebrows?
It's getting to that stage. I mean, you know, the point I was making about 2,000 a week is sort of unsustainable. It's become a much less effective, much less efficient method of communication than actually handwriting, I believe. But so you get everything. I was just having to click through in the break then. So we've got everything from ferries, that's quite a lot. Anything that's happened that week comes in, so, you know, water bills and Ofwat and the rest of it. Migrants, which, you know, isn't an issue on the island, but people get very exercised about that. WASP has obviously been coming in, people telling you what I need to tell Keir Starmer to do, because obviously I have dinner with him most days. I don't, obviously. You know, pick a topic and it'll be in there somewhere. And then you have the contact your MP, because this is important to us. I had a lot about cats at one stage. We were all getting hundreds of emails about cats.
A lot about cats?
Yeah, a lot about cats. And I've got two cats, so I'm on the side of cats.
I've got a cat.
Yeah, we've got three dogs and two cats, and my loyalties are torn, because the cats are much easier than the dogs, but the dogs do sit with you more. But yeah, so it's everything you can think of. The important point to make is that the important stuff, so, you know, for me, somebody with a housing issue, that email takes precedent over somebody that's telling me, you know, they don't like a particular policy, because whilst we will engage with that person at some stage, it's not, you know, it's not a life or death matter. So we have to find the urgent casework out of all that. And, you know, and it's it's 33 hours a week worth of emails for somebody in the office to deal with. So you can imagine there's everything and anything in there.
It really puts it into perspective. And we've got to go
I'm
to
a bit frivolous by nature, though. Can you just tell me what people were writing to you about cats?
We're going to have to save that for in a minute. We're going to have to save that as a cliffhanger. Because I was just going to say, we're going to have to play a track.
Though, Billy, don't forget.
That is my promise. We're going to go back to it. And it kind of links in as well to, you know, a humorous discussion point, but also I'm really keen to end on an inspirational Christmas note, a positive message. What I'd really like to get from you, Richard, as well, is something that you're most proud of so far, something that you've really made a difference on. So I'll give you some time to think about that. We're going to play a track to take us into the break now, and then we'll be back for our last chit chat with Richard Quigley, MP for Isle of Wight West. I've not got it wrong yet.
We were talking, you said you'd had some emails in about cats.
Yes.
Which automatically caught my attention, having a cat myself, the amazing Jack. So what are people writing to you about cats?
So quite seriously, it was the private members bill on, I forgot which Friday it was now, which was about the import of cats, dogs and ferrets. So in terms of their welfare. So it is quite a serious issue. You know, and it's one way of highlighting is people cut and paste and send the same thing. So, but it's already in our radar. Another is just the Cats Protection League making representation, rightly so. Good. I've got two cats and three dogs. The cats do indeed rule the roost. But yeah, so it's you know, smiling as I say it, but it is an important issue, and I'm glad we can do something about it.
And I believe that Billy's going to end on a more serious but cheerful note. But anyway, how are your plans going for Christmas?
Oh, terribly. Naively, we all thought after the 5th of July we'd get 2 or 3 days off, and we went straight into it. So it's been a long old run in. Good, don't get me wrong, it's been great to be able to do stuff. But I feel like I need another month to plan. So Christmas is, we know what we're doing on Christmas Day and Boxing Day. Family together, we're going to spend some time eating and just trying to enjoy time together, because we've not had a lot of that over the last 6 months.
More of the wine and cheese that you were enjoying.
Do you know what? I'm glad you remembered that, yes. Yeah.
And I suppose finally, just with my question, Richard, is what's the most pertinent case that you've dealt with to date, obviously without giving away personal information or details?
There's quite a lot ongoing. There's a couple we've settled and people have thanked me for, and I won't go into the detail, but I think the big overall thing, if I'm honest, is the actual being able to represent the island. Now, why I say that is that no one really knew anything about the Isle of Wight in Westminster. It might have been mentioned in the chamber, but no one was going into departments and banging on doors, going to ministers and saying, don't forget the island. No, I turn up somewhere now and they go, oh, here he is, the Minister for Ferries. Give him 10 seconds, he'll have mentioned him. Now, joking aside, I don't care, because it's the Isle of Wight and the most important factor of the day. So even in education, Isle of Wight's been mentioned now. So for me, that's the best thing, because it means we're actually, people are understanding that we're not just a holiday island off the south coast. We've got all the issues of any other constituency, and we're isolated by sea.
Thank you so much for that, Richard. What a great point to end on as well. And quite right, of course, to mention generally the day-to-day role and what you do being the biggest impact in your own opinion. And I think that's quite right to say. I think a lot of people listening would most likely agree with that. So thank you very much. We weren't too hard on you, was it?
Oh, no, I've really enjoyed it. It's a great way to... The last Sunday before Christmas, I've thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Richard. We're going to...
And obviously, happy Christmas.
Christmas to you and happy to everybody Christmas. Listening as well, too.
And New Year.
Yeah, let's do it again in the New Year.
We look forward to it. Thank you very much, Richard. At 2:02, we're going to finish off with...